Blog Talk Radio.
Partnership. As some people would say, NAFTA on steroids. I'm really very, very disturbed about this whole thing, you see, because, well, I was a NAFTA fan, and I've been a lifelong Democrat. More and more of the Democrats seem to be in favor of delaying the Trans-Pacific Partnership. In fact, many people are out there claiming that part of the real reason that there are no jobs in the United States, or that more and more of our jobs have disappeared, it's because of our increasing continuing establishment of trade, and that these trade pacts only encourage the United States to continue to lose jobs as our corporations continue to drive the wedge home. I'm really glad that you're listening with us tonight, and if you'd like to speak with us about this whole thing, this whole idea of trade agreements, the number is 347-945-6713. Right now, there's nobody calling. And I hope that we can have, I'm opening the chat window right now. If you don't want to speak to us directly, you can always call the Norm at Night and come into the Flash chat room. And indeed, Will, whatever you have to say, if you would just rather have me put it on the air myself for you, I will. Or, if you wish, you can call 347-945-6713. If you want to go to just come into the chat room, you can go to blogtalkradio.com/NormAtNight, and you can get into the Norm at Night chat room. Right now, Norm at Night is operating as a co-host in the chat room. I'm not 100% sure exactly what happens. But anyway, uh-oh, there goes my telephone. Hold on for a minute while I go and see who he is. Well, it's nobody we don't want to identify themselves. Yeah, this is the Constantine. Please leave a message. Well, that's coming in on our chat line. I don't have my cup of coffee today. I don't know. I guess I sort of fell asleep before the show, so I may have been a little late. You know, about the Norm at Night show, there is no question about 100% sure what I did here. Oh, there we go. Trouble with our phone lines. We're back now. Not a problem. Not a problem. So there's somebody in the guest 2653. Why don't you give us your thoughts on the Trans-Pacific Partnership, the TPP, as some Democrats, including Chuck Schumer, have talked about it as NAFTA on steroids. Just one little thing. Apparently, Chris Matthews has been talking about Chuck Schumer, and he's wondering if maybe the industrialized area of upstate New York may be changing his mind. First of all, what you're talking about, Chris, you make that mistake that so many other people make. It is not upstate New York. It is Western New York. And let's not forget it. Upstate the Adirondack Mountains, Western New York, and Central New York is a major, or was a major, industrial area of New York State. I can tell you that because, for better or for worse, I worked in the blast furnaces of Bethlehem Steel. And I have been a free trader. I was very affected by the work of Thomas Friedman, and especially his book, The World is Flat, where he talked about the very new world that we are now in because of digital technology and telecommunications. And as I think about it, it's not free trade that is the problem. It's free trade by capitalists that is the problem. We're always trying to destroy those who do the work. Well, you know what? I'm just going to say it. Capitalism is a worse. It's a terrible. Well, I'm not going to say it. I don't want people calling me here on Norm at Night with death threats for me because I talk about the serious effects of industrial slavery. And you know what? It's way worse than anything the world had ever seen before. But anyway, so give us a call here, 347-945-6713. If any of you have read Friedman, The World is Flat, please give us a call. I don't know what we're going to do without it. But I do have a small problem here, and I'm going to have to go away for a couple of minutes because, I have to answer a call of nature, and I am going to put the music back on. Let's just take a break, and Norm at Night will be right back. Yeah, well, I'm back, but I'm not going to be able to take any calls for a few minutes. You just keep talking or listening, actually, while I'll do some of the talking. It was really a very interesting listen yesterday when Chris Matthews was, oh gosh, talking to the President of the United States about his feelings on the TPP. The President's very much in favor of it. He says it's going to do nothing but help and encourage the middle class in America. When I think of it myself, I'm not 100% sure. In fact, I'm not sure at all that the President of the United States is even a Democrat, especially as the Democrats line up against him. He's been so worried, it seems to me, about, well, making the Republicans like him. I have no idea why. In fact, I have no idea why anybody even votes for the Republicans. It really baffles me. And why, apparently, this Trans-Pacific Partnership will connect the corporations of the world to each other. And it will make, well, supposedly, it's going to make sure the rest of the world's workers, have humane conditions and human rights and all of that. Other kinds of stuff. And, well, we need to get the largest American stores to simply buy American, I guess. And if our industry can make the best stuff, they'll buy it wherever it is around the world. Well, the argument goes that these other people won't even let American goods into the country for us to compete with their industries while we allow industry after industry into the United States or country after country to sell their products in the United States at, well, low prices simply because their workers can make things at for very less because they work for less. And have lower standards of living than we do here in the United States. Now, I don't know how far that argument goes, because, well, the facts are really becoming quite clear that someone at the bottom of Chinese society, for instance, has, what's the word I'm looking for? More possibility to rise to the top of Chinese society than someone at the bottom of American society does to rise to the top of American society. The days of, go west, young man, and find your fortune are long over. The real interesting thing, at least according to Friedman, is that, well, it's that the world is not a simple place anymore where it once was. You see, I mean, you can even go to college now in America and, well, to be perfectly frank, they're not going to get a job when they finish. What's really happened is not cheap work, but automated work, routine work that you used to be able to make a good living at in America doing. The kind of work that, for instance, let's say you're an accountant and you don't ride, and you work for H&R Block, or you work for just tiny little accounting firms all over America. Computers can do American tax returns for the most part. The thousands and thousands of of tax returns for the average American, for instance, are being done by computers. Our taxes, in many cases, are being done by machines in India. Friedman makes that point in his book. That's a real problem for us. I got this terrible cold. And it makes me sound like I'm always out of breath while I'm talking. Well, the other fact is I'm pretty fat. And try to call me the fat left-hander. Anyway, I should be able to take your calls again shortly as I fix this issue with my computer system, including this cold of mine. And, I got a caller. Just hold on, because I'm coming. And there we go. I think I'm fixed. Yes, I am. And you're on with Norman Knight. Go ahead, caller.
Oh, sorry to hear that you're not feeling well.
Oh, man. That is cold. Nothing worse than having a cold when the weather's nice. I think it's more allergies.
Yeah.
I think it's more allergies than anything else.
Oh, I went through that sinus thing for close to 2 months. It took forever to go away. And my sinus
we're
blood
red.
I was able to look inside there. I've got one of those little devices with the light and the magnifying glass.
Oh, God.
And,
I figured we'd go over to the clam stand for a cup of broth.
Yeah, the broth. I used to love that stuff, though, because they'd give you that big cup. And then I'd put salt and pepper on it, and then a big chunk of butter.
I never did the butter. Salt and pepper. And then I always wanted to get a job at Teresa and Ray's, and she'd say, "Can you open a clam?" I said, "No, but I can learn." He said, "I don't have time to teach you. Anybody can roll a hot dog."
Yeah. Well, back then, my grandparents lived on the west side on, Fargo Avenue.
Right.
The west side was loaded with clam stands. They were all over
the place. They were everywhere, up and down Niagara Street. It was unbelievable.
And all those sand flies would be swarming all. They put yellow lights out, but it didn't make any difference.
driving to Crystal Beach when the sand flies were swarming. They would just, your windshield would be almost covered by the time you got there.
Splattered bugs everywhere, you're dealing with the
TPP.
The latest treaty, what is it called? The Trans-Pacific Partnership.
Elizabeth Warren calls it NAFTA on steroids.
Oh, yeah, I've heard that before. So, Yeah, well, most of your liberal buddies, at least the economists, are all opposed to it. They've been slamming it left and right for the last couple of years.
Well, I've always been a free trader, believe it or not, because the problem doesn't lie with the fact that the corporations have free trade. The problem lies with that they're capitalist machines that simply make money.
I haven't read it. Obviously, WikiLeaks has been coming out with pieces of it from, you know, because it's top secret. Nobody is supposed to know what's in there.
It's not top secret.
I'm not officially top secret. They don't want any of the details to hit the public until they're ready.
Well, according to Elizabeth Warren, who's now the commander-in-chief of the opposing forces, if you would, they're actually calling it a war between them. Actually, Obama really threw her under the bus last night on Chris Matthews.
Yeah.
But she says that, and the likes of her, that it threatens the environment. It threatens labor standards everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
It threatens health standards everywhere. And that it's just a bad deal for the United States. It gives up our national sovereignty.
Yeah, you could say that too.
Well, that's a very interesting question.
But all treaties do. You give up something.
Well, you have to.
You're right. Unless it's the Treaty of Versailles.
Yeah, well, geez.
And we know what happens when you do that.
Well, we know what happens.
No, over the year, this has been going on for quite a few years, by the way. I think it as far back as, back through the Bush administration is when it first started to come out. And then it only involved a couple, like a handful of Asian nations, and then the U.S.
Go ahead. Stop.
Yes.
Sorry.
Well, the U.S. expressed interest to get into it and is not in it yet, but is in the negotiation process. But once we got into it, then the whole Pacific Rim and nearly every country bordering the Pacific Ocean is getting on board with it. So you've got it's huge. It could be big.
And
of course, it could also go down in flames.
This goes all the way back to the Japanese annexation of Korea in 1910. The Japanese then proceeded to try to establish what did they call it, the Pacific Co-Prosperity Sphere.
Yeah.
And instead of trying to do it economically, they tried to do it militarily.
Right, well.
And they came very close to success. It took an atom bomb to stop them.
Oh, boy. Okay, why don't we get back to the topic, because that's a little far out for me.
That is the topic. Look, and instead of Japan being the primary opposing force in the Pacific to the United States, it's now the Chinese.
Yeah, they aren't invited yet.
No, although they are a member of the World Trade Organization.
Yeah, they have expressed some interest, but
and this will
it would
not
seem like
the
U.S. and these countries want to do kind of an end run around China.
That's what the United
isolate
States
them.
Is attempting to
That's
do.
What we're trying to do with it, yes.
Now, the question is, will the Chinese allow that?
Yeah, well, here's what you've got domestically, okay?
Hey, by the way, anybody out there that wants to join in, wait 1 second, wants to join in with us, the number's 347-945-6713. And yes, you heard it right. I linked TPP to the Japanese Pacific Co-Prosperity Sphere. Yes, I did that. Now go ahead.
Okay. Let's first look at this. All right. Of our top liberal Keynesian economists, they're nearly all in agreement that it's a bad deal. And I'm talking Joseph Stiglitz, Robert Reich, Paul Krugman. They've been slamming it for the last few years. Robert Reich has been really jumping on it lately. And even Noam Chomsky, what does he say? He says it's an effort by the United States to force American workers compete with foreign workers, thereby they'll lose benefits and they'll have a lower standard of living. Now, I've given you four prominent liberals. These are four guys that, you know, you probably got their pictures in your wallet.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Actually, they're just on the wall. I don't carry them in my
wallet.
Oh,
all right. Well, anyway. So with that should get your interest. That should let you know that there's something really awful brewing, particularly for the American worker.
Okay. I don't think brewing. I think the coffee's done.
Well, no, not even close. There's plenty of opposition in both parties, and after NAFTA, I mean, after the millions of jobs lost with NAFTA, you know, this thing can be shot down, you know, like the Hindenburg, man. It's just the Japanese, you know, what's their strongest lobbying group in the country? Agriculture. They're completely opposed because they've got all those agricultural tariffs that keep them in business and keep their prices high.
I'm listening.
All right. So you have to get over them, and there's nothing easy about that. Then we have the pharmaceutical industry. Now, a number of these countries have some of national health care, and they're buying medications, drugs, in quantity at discount prices. And the only place where that doesn't happen is the United States. Of course, we pay premium prices. Well, guess what? That would be eliminated. All those countries would have to pay top dollar. I was looking at some of the stats. Their cost for medications will jump 600%.
I think you're wrong about that. I think,
no, I'm absolutely right about that.
It would go the other way, because if American Big Pharma, as they say, is forced to compete with the pharmaceutical industries in other countries, it's going to bring the prices down. The real issue with national sovereignty, however, is that with this agreement, it's not clear whether or not the United States is going to have to let pharmaceuticals into the country, which don't necessarily pass the FDA laws.
That's a possibility too. But here's the
worst part about it is the disputes in that case would not be heard in the United States courts.
Right. Now, here's the interesting part about it. As for tariffs or anything that is considered near a tariff in terms of regulation and pricing, you know, price controls and that sort of thing. What this treaty will do, or partnership as they like to call it,
it's a Trans-Pacific Partnership. That's what it's called.
Oh, yes, I know. One of the provisions is to get government out of trade. Now, they're going to have some role, obviously, but if any government, you know, does anything to prohibit or hinder or otherwise interfere with trading arrangements, such as the pharmaceutical thing I was just talking about, this partnership gives the corporation the right to sue the government. They've never had that before. Now let's go to Japan and all their agricultural tariffs.
You can sue the United States.
They have to
get
rid of all of them. All of them.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. American corporations could sue the American government.
Yes, they can.
That's all the time. But under this agreement, other corporations can sue the American government.
They certainly can, much like they do under NAFTA right now. They do.
Well, the thing, I'm not going to let anybody throw stones at NAFTA because...
You didn't work for Whirlpool or General Electric. That's why you don't care.
All I know is...
How about Lionel Trains? That's close to your heart.
And the railroad cars coming across the Canadian border and on the railroad bridge, and the trucks coming across the Peace Bridge, trade has simply exploded. The issue is not with the international trade. The issue is with the union busting.
Well, all they did, they just shut those factories down, primarily in the Midwest. And the bulk of those jobs went to Mexico, you know.
The fact of the matter is, if all those jobs went to Mexico, and they were such good jobs, and it was such suffering, people wouldn't be pouring across the border.
Well, here's how it happened. You know, there at the same time, the Mexican government made arrangements to shut down the small farmers, particularly the corn business, and so all of a sudden you had all these small farmers and their employees all out of work. They were supposed to take the factory jobs.
Yeah, well,
there was a slight problem there. Not only did they have no education, they couldn't read or write either. I mean, it was nothing. They could not do any of these jobs. GE built state-of-the-art plants down there and had no one to run them. So now that's changed since then. They've been, you know, I'm talking in the 1990s and early 2000. But
well, we don't have the people to run high-tech businesses here. 30% of our students don't graduate from high school. 30%.
Yeah, even more in some of the districts.
Well, some districts it's over 50, but that's a whole other question. And they have another black, and their cops start shooting them.
Okay. Where are they buying their bullets? China? Can we put a tariff on these bullets to keep them out of the country?
Now you sound
just trying
like
to get you back on topic here, you know?
Well, who's that fat filmmaker? I always forget his name.
Oh, Michael
Moore.
For
Columbine.
God, what a... Oh, Jesus. He is a wretched excuse for a human being, I'll tell you that.
Oh, why can't I think of his name now?
He's
Bowling
a disgusting, lying, cheating, hypocrite. Come on.
Well,
we've already had this conversation a couple times, so.
Don't ban guns, ban books.
Yeah, well, Anyway.
The Constitution says nothing about bullets.
Yeah, well, there's another, back to our TPP again. Another big section of it is copyright laws.
They should be abolished anyway.
All right, well, here's, no, that's not the way it's going to go. Oh, no, no. We want to enforce our copyright laws, and we want the other members to do the same.
I know we want, especially the Chinese and the Russians.
Because, let's face it, we produce more media than probably anybody anywhere. And we have companies like Disney and Miramax and on and on, all the big movie studios.
I'm not sure we produce more media than anybody else.
I would say a lot. Yeah, but we have the distribution networks. You know, let's face it, English language films are shown all over the world with subtitles or dubbing, whichever they want to do. But when's the last time you saw a Chinese or a French movie with subtitles? You don't.
French movies,
maybe in college, but, you know.
Before Rent was available.
Yeah, but see, here's the thing. When the copyright laws, I believe the first convention and treaty was held, it was around the turn of the century,
international
early 1900s,
copyright.
Thereabout. Yeah, well, that's when they first formed copyright laws and all that. But a lot of the countries that are on the Pacific Rim didn't exist then and didn't sign. Well, they didn't exist, but they haven't followed through and signed. So that's why they can duplicate media and sell it, and it's not illegal. Might be illegal.
It's not enforceable.
Right, right. Well, but for them,
you can buy workable copies of Windows in Russia for $5.
Oh yeah, yeah. I can go to Russia to there's a site called Legal Sounds, and I can buy any song I like for a penny apiece. Actually, I think it's a little more than that. I think they have to pay the artist. They actually do pay royalties. But it's an infinitesimally small number, you know, because, again, Russia did not exist then, I mean, in its present state. So they're saying, hey, you know, that was a different country. That's not us. So, and the same is true throughout Eastern Europe, Indonesia, Taiwan, North Korea, South Korea, India was a colony then. Pakistan didn't exist. Vietnam didn't exist. You see what I'm saying? They're all off the hook on this. So if you bring them in, this is where, you know, a lot of money can be made just by enforcing all these laws, you know.
Right, well, but the interesting thing with copyright, copyright is ceased to protect artists. What copyright now protects are big companies that buy rights.
Absolutely.
And that means to have a stop put to it.
Yeah.
Anything over 20 years is absurd. A copyright lasts for 20 years, period.
Yeah. Except if you're Disney.
And that includes family.
Except for Disney.
You die before the 20 years is up, it's done.
Yeah. Well, you know, if you know a few folks in Congress, you ask for a special exemption or a 10-year extension of your copyright.
How about
and
the Digital Millennium Copyright Act?
Sorry. Look up Disney's history with copyrights and Mickey Mouse and Cinderella and all that.
The Copyright Act was technically written in Disney's boardroom.
Yeah, well.
That's the one well, there's a couple of things that Billy Clinton isn't my favorite person about, and one of them is the Digital Millennium Copyright Act. And as sure as I'm damn sitting here, Hillary Clinton, she may be opposed to the TPP during the election, but she is going to embrace it. The Clintons
You know, I don't.
All you
it's hard to say if they have all the votes in the Senate, but they're probably close. I think it is pretty close, even at this point. And it's on the fast track too, so there won't be anything.
I don't think there's enough Democrats to oppose it to defeat it.
Yeah, it's hard to say. If the labor unions would do something,
it's
going to
be veto proof.
Yeah. Well, I'm just hoping.
It's not going to even have to worry about a veto.
No, of course. The president wants it. He wants it bad. See, one thing to remember about NAFTA, NAFTA was very much a bipartisan effort. Okay? You can't blame either party for it. Yeah, but I mean, you had
Bill Clinton.
Right. Well, I don't know why. I mean, they came out with all kinds of, I don't know what, propaganda. Let's call them lies. Why not? You know, saying how this would improve the economy and would actually create more jobs. And,
and
it was all crap. It was garbage.
It did improve the economy. Wait a minute. Did you forget about the non-deficit, the surplus budgets? That was all NAFTA. The telecommunications boom, that was all NAFTA.
Yeah, and where'd that money go?
Into Republican real estate coffers.
Yeah, I know. Everyone wants to talk about Clinton had a surplus. Ooh, woo. Yeah, it was an accident. You think he planned that? Christ.
The Democrats do something right and it's an accident.
Yeah, more or less.
Oh, it was an accident. The Republicans almost bankrupted and split the country apart.
Yeah, I think they, in
but
that case,
the bailout,
they underestimated what...
apart. We would be torn up with revolution right now.
Yeah, I didn't expect...
Except for the bailout.
I'm sure they didn't expect everything that happened either.
And so I really don't know. I was really, seriously, I was really affected by Thomas Friedman's The World is Flat.
Uh-huh.
And I believe if we can educate people enough, I don't know if they're... Actually, people have to educate themselves. If we really want to improve the economy of the United States, we must have Wi-Fi everywhere at no charge.
That would be nice.
And it's extraordinarily doable.
All right. Who's going to pay for it?
If I could walk into a Panera's anywhere and turn my computer on, connected to the internet, I should be able to sit on a park bench anywhere and do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
I should
be
able...
I have no problem with that. But I still want to know who's paying for it.
The country.
Not the country.
The
is
country.
It private is it private
dollars.
Business? Is it local government? Is it federal government?
The government.
Are we going to borrow money to do it? Because we probably will have to.
No, we won't have to. That's all such baloney.
Well, then where are we getting the money?
We could Wi-Fi the whole country for the next 100 years for a third of what we spent in Iraq.
And
a third.
Okay. Now, you know, you're talking about the same government that has a strike group heading to Yemen, right?
Yes.
And it's the same government. Yeah, it's the Teddy Roosevelt. I didn't realize how old that thing was. Wow. But anyway, and it's the same government.
It's
the same government that just sent 250 airborne rangers to the Ukraine to train. Oh, yes.
Well, that's not the first time we've sent troops into Russia.
Yeah, I know the story.
Again, back to the war. Everything's connected, baby.
Yeah, well, do you see the defense budget going down? I mean, I've seen where the Pentagon itself wants to cut expenses because they know the potential for domestic strife is certainly there. The poorer we get, the more threatened they are, because then they got to deal with us at home, you know. But unfortunately, you've got this incredible group of lobbyists and corporations, politicians, corrupt foreign governments, whatever you want to call them all, you know, and they're running the show.
Here's how it starts. Here's how it starts. For instance, if I was mayor of Bowie, I would try to Wi-Fi the city of Bowie.
Yeah.
I'd be putting up cell
towers. And again, how would you do it? How would you do it?
I would do it with cell towers.
No. The funding. Who?
The funding? The first thing I do is cancel the $23 million Bowie's going to spend to build a gym and an ice rink. Fuck that.
Oh, well, it's like my city. Now, we had plans to wire Sacramento, and there was a company that was going to come in to do it. And Google was associated with it,
mm-hmm.
But we didn't do it. But what we did do was spend $450 million on an arena for the Sacramento Kings to play in.
Absolutely, and we need to stop that kind of crap.
And we're going to spend another $16.5 million, and that will go for the soccer team. So they have
absolutely
somewhere to kick the ball around.
The Reds,
I know you like soccer.
They're going to have a new stadium built for them.
Yeah, well, you know, it has never been a winning proposition for government to get involved in any of these major projects. They don't
and
pay
I
off.
I say look to Roosevelt. Rural electrification, the TVA. All of those things work. It's how we electrified this country.
Okay.
The telegraph.
Yes, well, they had a product. They had a product that people wanted and needed. And it assisted other industry to grow.
People want
a basketball. But a basketball arena doesn't do that.
People want and need the internet.
Yes, well.
And it is people's own interest. But anyway, we're in the last minute. Any last words about the TPP from the West Coast?
Yeah, oppose it as much as you can. Tell everyone about it. Make up disgusting memes. Whatever you want to do.
I'm really surprised you're opposed to the TPP.
Oh, hell yes. It's a horrible thing. See, there's even more to it that I'm not familiar with.
All right,
really
we'll have to do it on the next show.
The banking regulations are another animal.
All right,
and
all right.
That's
about all the time we have for tonight. By the next show, I'll announce complete whether I'm for or against TPP. Right now, I tend to be leaning towards the Elizabeth Warren side. We're out of here. That's another week of Norm at Night. We'll see you next Wednesday at 7. We're out. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
I hope you're feeling better. Bye-bye.
Thanks.